This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And the drive rolls along on a Thursday afternoon with Rob Brenton on the controls. That there is Dusty Likens on the Sports Machine. Sean Levine coming up in about, let's call it 10, 12 minutes. We'll step inside the mind of the machine. Rob, if you got some NBA music back there, fire it up for me because, oh, attaboy. Quick trigger finger today. I want to know Kansas City. I want to know Rob, Dusty. Would you guys be willing to completely denounce your allegiances to whatever team you're a fan of right now if the Raptors were to come to Kansas City just for a year? And I understand this would be some serious commitment because, Rob, I've seen you with all your Cavaliers t-shirts and your Tristan Thompson jersey, and Dusty, I've seen you walk in and your Luka Doncic t-shirt jersey and all those different things. And I've been a Bulls fan now for a long, long time. I think that I'd be willing to give it up, even knowing that it's not long-term, and let me tell you why. I think that short-term could lead to long-term if Kansas City shows out and if the Raptors do something special. And I honestly believe both things would happen. Uh-huh. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, we're not talking about the Kings coming back and all of a sudden I'd be saying, well, maybe they can make a run to the finals. The Raptors were there last year, right? They were a game away from the Eastern Conference Finals again this year. So we're talking about a good basketball team that would be under very unique circumstances. Let's say that they came to Kansas City and you know they're only going to stick around for 1 year. Mm-hmm. You can go to these games. You can go see NBA games. Well, just dream with me here. Next year, there's some sort of a vaccine. Something happens. And you can go to the Sprint Center. Because yeah, that's honestly, that does matter. I'm glad you brought it up. Because if they come here and we can't.
T-Mobile Center.
T-Mobile.
Yeah. Dream with me.
If we come and, you know, if they come and we can't go, it's going to be a little different. But if you can actually go watch them play, I want to know, would you be willing to denounce your Mavs fandom and become a Raptors fan?
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm just a Mavs fan because of Luka. Like, Luka's in my 5 horny Hall of Fame. Like, he's in there with Bryce Harper, Cody Bellinger, and him that we can get to another time. But when it comes to the, well, like that, yeah, absolutely. I've wanted an NBA team my whole life. Like, I wanted it when we had Kemper. I wanted it when the Sprint Center opened up. By the way, T-Mobile, is it going to be pink, like, on the top? Like, is it going to have, like, the pink wires and everything?
Yeah, have you not been down there? It is pink.
I haven't been down there.
Yeah, it's pink.
Clearly.
That's awesome. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I have no problem with it. That's the...
But no, I mean, to answer the question, like, I mean, I don't really have like a diehard fandom. Like, if Luke is playing, I will stop and watch him play
that
night. Okay,
so you're willing to sell your fandom. Rob, I know you're a little bit more of a fan, more of a lifelong fan than Dusty.
He's coming home.
Would you be willing to?
Hell no.
Are you serious?
For a one-year Raptors? No.
But now, they stick around.
This is an anchor tenant. If this is a real team, I would talk about it. But for 40 games in the 2021 season, hell no.
Okay, all right.
I had way too much fun as a Cavs fan when we smoked them in 2018.
Okay.
That was a great
He's
time.
He's addicted to the land, man.
The number one seed in the East, and they couldn't win a game. We embarrassed them. It's too fun. I can't take those jokes away.
It can't be that fun to be a Cavs fan. I mean, the minute that
they have a championship, flags fly forever.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, take them away.
They've also probably been one of the worst organizations. When they don't have LeBron James, they're probably the worst basketball
Knicks
organization.
Knicks are still
in
the Knicks. Yeah. The Knicks are always the basement that I can rise above.
If you could even get into a conversation that your team is the worst, though, I'm just saying it can't. That would be like saying it's been really fun being a Royals fan my entire life because in 2004. No, it's been a pain in the ass. It's been very difficult. Was 14 and 15 amazing and incredible because of that? Was it better because I suffered? Yeah, but it hasn't been easy. It hasn't hasn't been great. Flags fly forever, but it's been difficult being a Kansas City Royals
Cavs
fan.
Cavs do have one of the best throwbacks, though, like with the CAV and the orange and the hoop. Like, that to me is like one of the sickest throwbacks.
Fire.
Yeah, it is nice.
I am curious, though, and hit us up on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line. What if I up the ante and I said that there's a team that comes to Kansas City permanently? How quick would you be willing to sell your fandom? Because
immediately.
I think that everybody should, and I think that most everybody would.
You have to support, man.
Well, it's not even that. It's in the NBA, I feel like in Kansas City, if you line up 10 different NBA fans and you say, who's your favorite team, you're going to get probably 6 or 7 or 8 different answers. You know?
You might get 10.
Well, somebody's going to say that it's the Bulls. You're always going to get a Bulls answer. Somebody's going to say it's the Warriors. You're always going to get that, right? Like,
or wherever LeBron goes.
Right. So you're going to get certain answers.
Yeah.
I just think that all those answers would immediately turn into the Kansas City basketball team if they came here permanently. Because there's a lot of people, we always talk about that Kansas City doesn't love the NBA. Are we sure Kansas City doesn't love the NBA? Like, what exactly are we going by? If we're just going by TV ratings and the fact that the Kings left town, well, then, yeah, maybe they don't love the NBA. But every time they bring one of those weird scrimmages in, right, whether it's the Pacers versus the Nets or whoever it is, there's always 14,000, 15,000 people. And if we're just talking about either the novelty of a team coming for 1 year, I can tell you for sure, same thing happened down in Oklahoma City when the Thunder went there, the Hornets went there. They'd sell out, the novelty of it. And if Kansas City got a team and they were good, I think that they would become an absolute phenomenon. Like, I don't necessarily think it's a question of would Kansas City support an NBA team. I just guys don't think that they're next in line. Like, you can't really argue that Kansas City deserves an NBA franchise over Seattle, over Las Vegas. But outside of that, especially if they are to get the Raptors and this goes well, doesn't it kind of feel like they're next up?
Yeah, I mean, like, they, for one, I mean, you've got to get some more buildings down. You got to get some more hotels, I think, is a big idea for downtown, because we have been passed on certain other events. Now, granted, it's not been
teams. This isn't Kemper Arena.
I know, but again,
we got hotels.
No, I get it. But the thing about it is like, how much more money do they make, again, on major concerts, right? Like, how many, like, they don't have to worry about a team playing, like Rob said, 41 games at home during a, you know, a 6 month period, because they can just put in a Billy Joel night, or if Garth Brooks comes back in town, or Taylor Swift plays at Sprint Center, you don't have to worry about a team being there. You can just book major concerts and major names.
Okay, well, that's fair, but how many nights do you think the Sprint Center
T-Mobile Center yeah
is empty?
No, I get it. Trust me, but how many times do they have to worry
about?
That's
not a rhetorical question. Let's figure it out. So let's say they play 20.
Twice a week.
I'm talking about in a normal year. Normal year. You got the Big 12 tournament.
Right.
So that takes up 5 days, right?
Correct.
They got concerts. What do you think?
Sporadically throughout the week. There could be 3 concerts a week.
Okay.
There could be one Tuesday night, Wednesday,
okay,
Tuesday,
cool.
Thursday,
okay,
Sunday.
So that's
they got
150.
The 2021 first and second round games and the 2023 regional final.
I bet it's
coming
empty.
Here.
I bet it's empty as often as it's used. That would be my guess. Like, I bet that they could figure out a way logistically to make it work.
No, I'm just saying, like, that's what
and
I'm
make
saying.
More
but
money.
They don't have to worry about that because, I don't know. I mean, concerts sell out every seat. I mean, you saw the video of Post Malone when he was here and Mahomes showed up and Kelce showed up. That thing was sold out.
Well, that's like, always been the argument is that whatever they call
the
arena,
out, and the thing
they
is,
make money. Like, right now, as it stands, and it's been there now for, what, 12
years?
Years?
I thought it was 10
No,
years.
More than that. It's 11 or 12.
I thought it just had its 10-year anniversary.
No, nah, you're behind. I think it came around in 07 or 08, I want to say.
Maybe 12 years.
Yeah, it's been around for a minute now. With the Brigade? Remember the Kansas City Brigade?
No, I get it. But again, like, you also have to look at the demographic. Like, does the NBA attract us three? 100%. Does it attract the text line that's listening or the people in the car listening?
I think it does.
It does. But, I mean, the thing is like, the NBA would take a little bit of time, and it would be a big spike at first, but it would take a little bit of time to, like, get people in. But again, the NBA is so fun in college. Like, watching basketball live and watching these guys run as fast as they can, as big as they are, I think would take some things over with some fans. And also, the big important thing is you got to be successful immediately. And Toronto would be successful almost immediately. I mean, you have a good roster. Kyle Lowry's on that team. That's another thing that's a big important thing, because they took hockey to Vegas and Vegas was successful immediately. And look what happened.
Oh, it's the most important thing, actually.
Yeah.
Like, look what happened when the Thunder, I talked about this yesterday,
right,
when the Thunder got to town. So the Sonics become the Thunder. And for the first year, they suck. They win like 17 games. And then 3 years in a row, you draft Durant, Westbrook, James Harden.
Yeah.
And then a couple of years after that, you're winning 55, 60 games going to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
And now everybody's coming. They're filling up the stadium. They're buying your gear. They're talking about you. You're on nationally televised games. You got the man and Kevin Durant who won the MVP down there. you got to win. Like, that's actually, it's not just one of those things. It's the most important thing. That's Dusty Likens. That's Rob Brinton. I'm the Sports Machine, Sean Levine. Coming up next, if you dare, we're going to go into a dark and dangerous place. We step inside the mind of the machine on The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
And we roll on with Dusty Likens, Sports Machine, Sean Levine, The Drive, taking you up until 6 o'clock. We got a lot to get to. We'll take you around the NFL in the 4 o'clock hour.
I like this bump music.
Rob, how many Survivor losses do you have so far on the season? Because I know that I took a nick a couple of weeks ago.
We both have one. Okay. We both got a ride or die this week. Yeah. I have a hunch I'm going to survive. I have a very safe pick lined up.
Well, let's call it Survivors. That's probably a good idea. Sean Barber is going to join us at 5:15. Brian Baldinger at 5:30. And fantasy football coming up relatively shortly at 3:45. Get your fantasy advice questions answered with Benny Heist. But right now, we step inside the mind of the machine. Dusty, welcome inside the mind of the machine. How you feeling?
Safe right now.
Give it a minute.
Have you guys used Chiefs yet at all this year? Sorry.
I did last game against the Broncos. Oh, okay. Because I got real nervous.
Let's not tease things, Dusty.
Okay.
Hush now, child.
Okay.
I just didn't want to have back-to-back losses, and so I kind of like got nervous, and I took the Chiefs over the Broncos. I didn't want to go out like
went
that.
Went slam dunk.
Yeah, and it worked out well, but now I'm going to have to check the list because
you're getting thin, right?
I just have no idea who I've taken. I know I've taken the Chiefs, and I'd assume I've taken I don't know who I've taken. Anyway,
short-term memory loss.
My question to you is this. Who do you think is going to be the Royals' opening day starter now that the baseball season is officially over?
I mean, I have a theory, and I have it. I mean, okay. Coming from a tough season where fans weren't allowed to watch any games, if you want to get a big boom and surge, you go Brady Singer. But I think Brad Keller deserves it. But I think that Singer's the guy that if you want to get like that buzz, you want to get people out there, you want to hear Vern set up a show, Singer's the guy, but I think Keller deserves it.
I actually think you got that right. Yeah, it's got to be Keller, though.
Right.
It's got to be Keller. Singer can be your opening day starter every year going forward, probably for the next like 5 or 6 years. And I think if you slot in the number two spot where ironically he was this year, then he'll be just fine with that. And Brad Keller deserves it. Right. I mean, Brad Keller looked like an ace the entire year, which is
a 3-0
season
zero
ERA. With COVID. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think, that's a damn good start to a rotation. And we, in the past, we've said that, and we've kind of tried to convince ourselves of that. That to me is at least the beginning of a real 1-2 with Keller Singer, and then we'll see what else you got.
Yeah, because you still have Bubich, and then you have Asa Lacy, who you called up. Daniel Lynch is still in that system too.
And if just a couple of those guys hit, we were talking about it before the show. You don't need them all to.
No.
At this point.
Three.
You need a couple of them, too, and then you really got something cooking there. If the Raptors do end up coming to Kansas City, there's going to be a lot of dinosaur gear going around town. What's your favorite type of dinosaur?
Either the Dilophosaurus or the Velociraptor.
I'm familiar with the work of the Velociraptor. Tell me more about this.
The Dilophosaurus is the one that kills Newman or Wayne Knight or Dennis Nedry in Jurassic Park when he gets sprayed with the tar in the chest and then he gets sprayed in the eye. And he also tells John Hammond when he's telling him to fix the thing, says, yeah, thanks, Dad.
I've always been more of a Triceratops.
That's weak.
Yeah, they're horny.
So, yeah, but they're also plant eaters.
Yeah, but they're horny all the time. And what's the long neck one?
Brontosaurus.
I almost said bronchitis.
Or Littlefoot from Land Before Time.
I was a ducky guy in Land Before Time.
Nice. I was Petrie.
Much more of a ducky guy. Will Les Miles be the head coach of KU football next year?
Yes. He's still got another year, maybe two. I mean, Rob probably knows more about this. I mean, he hasn't had a full system yet. The kids aren't all the way fully developed.
What if they don't win a game?
Yeah, he's still the coach next year, for sure. I think so. I don't think he's going anywhere.
You can't fire him. You just can't. It's a 5-year plan. It has to be a 5-year plan. You guys don't.
What? We're going to keep doing this for another 3.5?
Fans don't want to hear about how the sausage is made. Someone wants to see the sausage. But here's an important stat to remember.
Yeah.
KU will not be at full scholarship capacity until the end of next season.
Mm.
The hole with JUCO players and transfers and all the issues they ran into with Weiss and Beatty was so deep. They've been going out there without their full assortment of scholarships. So you have to fix the problems before you can start complaining about results.
Why would he get 5 if Beatty and Gil and Weiss? He got 3.5.
And then they asked him.
Like, I don't know why. I don't know what. 5? Les Miles would get 5?
Well, again, he has to fix the problem.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, and it's also what part of the name being Les Miles, right? Like, it's you just can't like you can't throw him to the wayside.
The question, I mean, the problem is big. I don't know if just replacing Les Miles or keeping Les Miles is going to solve whatever that problem is. We were talking about the best kid show earlier today on PBS. In fact, if you missed it, go back and check because that was today's Levine's List. What's the better kids movie, Dusty? Mighty Ducks or Willy Wonka?
Willy Wonka. I'm not a big Mighty Ducks fan. Gordon Bombay only did that because he had to, because he got a DUI and was forced into it, and then he finally liked the kids, whereas, like, Gene Wilder and Willy Wonka, that's just perfect, even though Grandpa Joe's a complete jerk.
Yeah, but Gene Wilder, he like, his character in Willy Wonka as a kid, I don't think you really realize, and I'm not talking about the Johnny Depp version. I'm talking about the one that we've all seen a million times.
Yeah.
He's kind of a dark, he's a real dark dude, but you don't really realize it as a kid. You just think that he's kind of a crazy old man.
I mean, I realized it when he was just chewing Charlie Bucket out at the very end for stealing fizzy lifting drinks that he was a dark dude, or when he was on the Chocolate River just going absolutely nuts.
The
when
Chocolate River, it's unfathomable that that could happen in a kid's movie that we all saw in elementary school at least 50 times. That's a scary scene in a movie.
Few stats about that movie. When Gene Wilder does the rolling fall at the beginning, that was all impromptu. He wanted to get the actual reaction from the kids so that they would actually see like they saw a, like a figure they've been looking to see.
Semi-interesting. What else you got?
And then the river scene where he goes into character like that, none of them knew that he was going to read it like that or be like that. They thought it was just going to be like a little funny poem. That was Gene Wilder actually like being like dark and twisted to see like what it would look like and those kids' reaction again. And the parents, by the way, just natural reaction.
The Johnny Depp version wasn't even worth watching.
Absolutely terrible. It's like the movie took Xanax.
Yeah, it was brutal.
Brutal.
And you had to be on something to watch that movie, somebody told me.
Thanks, Tim.
Raiders versus Browns coming up this Sunday. Who do you think wins that game?
Does it really matter? Like, do I care enough? Like, I mean, I think the Browns win. I think the Raiders are a good team, but I think the Browns are a better team.
Well, if the Browns win, they'll be, what, 6-2?
Correct.
Record-wise, so I have to talk about it.
And their only two losses are Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
Yeah, they can't be a good team. That's a problem. Like, yeah. That's why the Browns will never be for real to me. They're like the Buffalo Bills. Oh, cool. You rack up a bunch of wins against the Jets and the Dolphins and these teams that suck. What happens when you play a good team like the Chiefs? We saw, I don't consider these teams good until they beat the good team. So, to me, the Browns are just kind of there. Which quarterback do you like more? Derek Carr or Baker Mayfield?
Has Baker Mayfield cried on the field before and it been recorded?
My guess would be yes, but I don't know.
I don't think so, but Derek Carr has. So, I mean, it's definitely, and Derek Carr just, I don't know. Derek Carr's got a wrist tattoo. I don't know. Not into it.
We talked about Bob Ross earlier today.
My guy.
Your weird story about bringing the girl back to your place and for whatever reason putting on Bob Ross.
It was just
on the
channel.
Did you paint along with it or did you just watch him paint?
No, I just sat there and watched it and I could tell she was clearly bored and then she was like, get this off the TV.
How many people actually paint along with Bob Ross, do you think?
I think back in the day, a ton. By the way, all his paintings went to charity.
No, I mean, the charity thing, I don't know if you're lying or not, but the...
I'm not.
I mean, he's got to have a million of those things. He makes them in 15 minutes.
It's an hour. It's 30 minutes, and whatever. His producer gets mad at him if he keeps talking because then she can't get through the episode. No, it's 30 minutes. I do think there are people, just like cooking shows, I think people try to cook with, like, you know, Martha Stewart, and then your cookies come out looking terrible, and you're like, oh, well, this sucked.
Do people do that?
I'm sure. That's why they're like, add a cup, add this, and they go slow. And then, you know, what's her name? Was it Gloria Child? I don't know her name, but she had, like, really deep voice. Childs, I don't know, something like that.
One time somebody was making these like sticky buns that I really wanted to try and happen to have the ingredients, so I did do that. But no, I've never the other. No.
I think people try to pay with Bob Ross. I don't think it comes out looking like that.
Of course, it doesn't come out looking like that. 913-576-7610. Has anybody painted along with Bob Ross?
No.
Come on. I bet more people have rapped along with Rick Ross. I've done that. Hustling.
I just like Rick Ross's beard and his confidence.
Celebrity birthday time.
Uh-oh.
Vanilla Ice, a.k.a. I shouldn't have done that. A Rob.
Van Winkle.
Yeah, Rob Van Winkle.
Yeah.
How old is he?
50. I think on the nose.
I'm going to say 50. I'm gonna 51 him. I think he's older than that.
CDOT's move. That's a good one. He's 53.
Happy birthday,
Rob Van Winkle. Speaking of Rob birthdays, Rob Schneider.
We have such a strong first name. We're a good group.
Julia Child.
Rob Schneider is probably 57.
54.
You think Rob's a strong name? R-O-B?
A lot of strong Robs.
Robert.
A lot of wins.
Mm.
Rob Lowe, ageless.
But he hates Kansas City.
Rob Kardashian, somehow famous. Strong group.
What number did you say?
I said 57.
Yeah, he is 57.
Nice.
Rob knows his Rob.
Rob knows Rob's.
Andy Dalton.
Limp. I would say 36.
All right, I'm going to do the math. Here we go. He was at TCU. He graduated TCU in 2009. He came out a year early, so that would have been 21. That would have been 9 years ago. I'm going to say he's 31 today.
He's 33.
Mm.
Text line, is Rob a strong name? I never thought it was.
Rob Gronkowski?
I know, but you're not proving your point, though. Is it just like
Deerdeck had a very popular TV show, cult following.
I always thought he was kind of overrated. To me, Rob's a little bit like Lance.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
Was that an insult?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, Lance is worse than Rob. Lance is much worse than Rob, I'll give you that. But either way, have I told you the time I broke up with a girl because her name was Tanya?
Seriously?
Probably the most shallow thing I ever did. Yeah, the summer I lived in Chicago, I had this girl, and I decided I wasn't going to have a future with a girl named Tanya, so that just ended right then and there.
I just want to let you know that Bob Ross is taking over your text line, by the way.
Has he?
Yeah, they said, my father-in-law learned how to paint by following along with Bob Ross. He's an amazing landscape painter now from the 913.
Yeah, but these people aren't doing it current. Like, if they did it 25...
He said painter now. That's current. That's a
no
synonym for current.
Somebody's watching, but... like
You can. Channel 19-3 on an antenna cable on KCPT Create. Every night, 10:30, you can watch Bob Ross paint.
I'm not questioning if that exists. You're telling me that at 10:30, somebody tonight is planning on busting out an easel in their paint set, and they're going to paint along with Bob Ross.
You want to come over and do
listening
that?
To this radio show.
Do you want to come over and watch Bob Ross night and paint? Because some people said that people don't paint along with Bob Ross. They just roll doobies to it. And then the other
I've heard, somebody told me that Bob Ross can be enjoyable if you're passing a doobie. I'm not saying that I know that factually. I'm just saying that I've been with people that have told me that if maybe you're kind of a little bit stoned, it's fun to watch Bob Ross.
The other thing,
while
too,
listening to Rick Ross.
From 913, Rob is such a strong name that most people change it to Bob for some reason. Bob Ross. I'm just saying.
Oh,
and
my
goodness. And then you also have watch where all the Bob Ross paintings went. We found them on YouTube.
Okay.
Telling you.
Okay.
I'll be back tomorrow to talk more Bob Ross, and he's on Netflix.
Dusty, turn off your mic and take a break. Good job.
Just telling you.
Rob, that's Rob Brenton, very strong name.
Look at the top text. Look at your text message right now.
I will. Okay, just give me a break. I'm merely a sports machine, Sean Levine. Coming up next, we'll get off the Bob Ross. We'll get back into the football. And I think that the NFL's got one particular matchup that they want to see in this year's Super Bowl. And I think it's the exact same matchup you're going to want to see. What is it? I'll tell you next on The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
And we roll along on a beautiful Thursday afternoon in Kansas City. Dusty Likens, Sports Machine, Sean Levine, Rob Brenton taking you up here until 6 o'clock. We got a lot to get to. In fact, coming up in, we'll call it 12 minutes or so. If you got your fantasy football questions, get those rolling in right now because you can get some advice with Sports Illustrated Fantasy Insider Benny Heist. That's coming up. It's about 12 minutes from now. So text us 913-576-7610, and I would be happy to ask any question that you have to somebody that's fantasy football team has to be better than mine. I did get off the schneid, though. Mm. I did. I finally won a game, so things are looking up for my fantasy football team. Speaking of the old pigskin, I think, guys, that there's one matchup that the NFL would like to see more so than any other in the Super Bowl this year. Now, would they like to see Aaron Rodgers come out of the NFC toward the end of his career? The Packers have a great fan base, no question about it. They'd love that. Would they like to see maybe Drew Brees toward the end of his career? Sure. Would they like to see L.A., their biggest market or second biggest market compared to New York? Maybe the Rams get there from the NFC? These are all good things for the NFL. But, and this is kind of not assuming that the Chiefs are going to get there, but you got to play the game here. So if you got Patrick Mahomes and you got the new face and you got the current reigning Super Bowl champion, the MVP and all of that, who would the MVP like to see on the other side? I think there's one pretty clear-cut answer. And tell me if you disagree. It's got to be Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. First of all, you get the new face of the league versus the old face of the league, right? You get a guy who everybody thought was done versus a guy who everybody can't believe he's this good this fast. And no team has ever played the Super Bowl in their home stadium. Now, we found out today that there's going to be about 20% capacity allowed. I'm not exactly sure why they're announcing those numbers right now. I understand the tickets are expensive, flights are expensive, hotels are expensive. So you can't just book that type of thing last minute. We found that out last year.
Right.
A lot of people, how many people said when the Chiefs won the AFC Championship game, I'm going to the Super Bowl? And then those people found out that you might be going to Miami,
yeah,
but you ain't going to the Super Bowl. So there's a big difference. So 20% capacity right now is what the NFL is saying going to be allowed the Super Bowl down there in Tampa Bay. It'd be the first time if the Bucs get there that the home team has played in their home stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Again, If I were the NFL, I would just hold off as long as I possibly can. You got to figure, if you're going to the Super Bowl, then you probably have some expendable income anyway. So last minute, you should, unless, I know there's some people that literally went to the Super Bowl last year that spent 80% of what they had. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the people that can afford to do that. The people that are sitting, you know, in the good seats with the nice cars and the nice parking and all of that. I think that it's those people. You can wait, because let's say that there's some sort of a cure. Let's say that there's some sort of information that comes out. We're talking about, where are we right now? We're in October, November, December, January.
Damn near November, actually.
I know it's close.
Yeah.
But it's also somewhat far away. If you think about COVID and how it changes every single day and the information and right. All the vaccine talk and all that, 100 plus days away. Right now, they're saying there's going to be 20% capacity at the Super Bowl. So at least there's going to be some fans, which you find out here at Arrowhead, is much better than no fans. There's no question about that. Some is better than none. But I think the NFL would be absolutely thrilled, Dusty, just beyond excited, if they could get Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes to play in the Super Bowl.
I think that's the best selling pitch, because it's almost like it has that like Elway Montana type of feel to it, whereas Elway was trying to become the new guy, win a Super Bowl, be the guy that was the comeback, the heart stealer and all that. When they played each other, it was very, very much lots of sex appeal on TV, right? It was two of the best quarterbacks of their time. One was trying to move along. One was trying to get out of the game. I think you see that with Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, but I kind of feel that if it's a torch passing type of thing, I think that is past. I think that passed when Patrick Mahomes went there last year in New England and beat Tom Brady. And now this is basically like Tom Brady's retirement. This is the Tommy Bahama version of Tom Brady. He's got his boys in Tampa Bay. Now the Antonio Brown thing kind of gives a little bit more of that heel vibe for Tom Brady, but no doubt. I think that, I think a Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady in it, no matter if they're playing on two different teams or it's obviously the Chiefs and the Bucks, I think that's a perfect selling point. And you and I both know, we've followed these sports long enough in our lives. The NFL doesn't care if your city's involved. The NFL cares about what teams and what matchups make the most sense. Because honestly, if I could have a Super Bowl right now, it'd be the Chiefs versus the Seahawks.
Well, it's a players-driven league.
Right.
And, you know, if you can get Tom Brady
right.
as one of the quarterbacks and Patrick Mahomes as the other,
right.
yeah, check and check. Yeah, I'll absolutely take it.
And think about the possibilities of the offensive production in that game. You have Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, Tom Brady.
Over and then on the other, 74 and a half.
Right. And then on the other, and by the way, they're playing each other. So you'd have a preview of this game already because they play each other in 4 weeks. And then not only that, but then you have Mahomes, Tyreek, Travis Kelce. So not only would you have the Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, here all of a sudden we go again where it's Gronk and Kelce again. So
and the Chiefs are trying to win back-to-back
right.
Super Bowls, which doesn't happen a lot. Tom Brady
right.
probably end up retiring, you would think, if he wins the Super Bowl after the game. I could be wrong.
And
but
yeah. And that's just crazy.
Like, there'd be a lot. That'd be a
yeah.
game.
And that's what the, and again, like that's what you say. That's the narrative. That's what the NFL wants, because here we are talking about it for a like literally an 8 minute of a 10 minute segment, and we've already created six storylines off the top of our head. Imagine what the NFL could do with this. Pat and Tom again, the torch passing again, Gronk versus Kelce. High octane offense versus high octane offense.
First team to play in their home stadium with
right.
Tom Brady. Maybe he retires after the game. Maybe Pat can win 2 in 3 years. Like, yeah, it would be the storyline of all stories. And it almost feels like, I'm not going to say the NFL deserves it, but as fans, I feel like we do. Like, it's just been such a weird year with sports where I'm a baseball fan. Like, I'll admit to this, I'm a baseball fan. It was a little bit hard to just, I wasn't sure who was playing who, if it was a 3-game series, a 5-game series, was the World Series played in those home state, were there fans there? Wait, it was in Arlington. Like,
yeah.
It was say, the NBA, the bubble, games were on the middle of the day. The Suns won every game in the bubble but didn't make the playoffs. It's just been a little bit confusing. I wouldn't mind seeing just what I feel like we're meant to see, right? Like,
right.
best case scenario, which would be they end up figuring this out. I'm not talking about COVID. I'm talking about the NFL season. They got minimal COVID interferences, and then we can get the Bucks and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And I think a lot of people out there are just saying, if it's the Chiefs and anybody, I'll be happy with that. But can you imagine? Like, I do think that it would be somewhat, not scary. As a Chiefs fan, I've gotten past the point of being scared of any team. Like,
right,
I remember C-Dot was saying Baltimore's scary. Well, maybe to everybody else but Kansas City, you
right.
know? When Tennessee was hot, they're not scary to Kansas City. I don't know. The thing about the Bucs and the Chiefs that I actually find interesting is neither one of them are unlikable right now,
yeah.
even though historically people haven't really liked Tom Brady. Would you say the Bucs are an unlikable team already?
Maybe with the Antonio Brown news? Like, why there? Why him? Maybe that's a little bit
like
of
you
it.
You say they become more of a heel, but you can't become unlikable the first year that everybody's on the team, right?
I think you could.
It takes a while.
I mean, with Tom Brady.
You must have been an unlikable kid growing up. Like, you were the new kid in school, and they're like, oh, this guy, right?
No, I mean, that's just my mouth. It would get me in trouble. But, I mean.
Shocker.
Yeah. I don't know if it's like, I don't know if Tampa's unlikable because Tampa Bay plays in a division that is absolutely trash. There's not a lot of talent in that division, so they should win that division pretty easy. They should probably win 10, 11 games. They'll probably be a top team in the NFC. But it's just the fact, and here's another one from the text line from the 620. You'd have Le'Veon Bell on one side and Antonio Brown on another side on two different teams.
Right.
That's another crazy storyline that would go between Tampa Bay
and
the Chiefs.
That's what the NFL, and I know the NFL
and that's
can
what
say,
they want.
Like, they can say that would be a bad storyline.
No.
That's
a money storyline. Everybody
would be an absolute money maker.
Because guess where the camera's going to go when they first get on the practice field and they're around each other? They're going to put Antonio Brown on one side. They're going to put Le'Veon Bell on the other. But, like, that's the NFL selling point. This is why the NFL is so profitable. This is why it is the number one sport, because you have situations like that. Like, look at the NBA championship. It was Miami versus the Lakers. I get it. Miami's good. It was Jimmy Butler, but it was LeBron, and can LeBron win a title with the Lakers?
Yeah,
and
it wasn't
Anthony
Giannis.
Davis? Yeah, it wasn't that. It wasn't that Super Bowl. And then the World Series was the Dodgers in Tampa Bay.
Who?
Nobody cared about Tampa Bay, but they knew that the Dodgers were going to their third straight World Series. Can Clayton Kershaw, like, you think about it. What I'm getting at is all the storylines are one-sided.
We need this. We need this,
Dusty. NFL,
not
during
we,
this,
not me, not you.
Sided. No.
America needs this. Okay. Damn it.
Well, we are on political ads nowadays, but you could be like, I'm Sean Levine and I approve this message.
Well, I do, because I think that everybody, like, if you're just a football fan, right? Yeah. If you're not a fan of one of these teams, or if you're a fan of the Jets or one of these teams that's just bad, that's not going to make the playoffs, and you just want to watch an entertaining football game and the biggest one at the end of the year, Chiefs Bucks is it, right?
Right.
It has to be. It absolutely has to be.
Can I ask you this real quick, though?
Yeah.
If the Chiefs beat Tom Brady and the Bucks and win their second Super Bowl in 2 years, do the Chiefs then become the most hated team in football?
No, I still think it takes a while. How long did it take Golden State?
2 years.
No, it
and
took
then once
longer
Kevin,
than that.
No. Once
okay, well, Kevin Durant came. True.
Yeah. Once Kevin Durant was there, everybody hated it.
But that's why.
But some people like that will come. Like, what if A.J. Green comes to the Chiefs next year? What if he's like, I'm done with Cincinnati, I don't want to do it, he comes to the Chiefs because he wants to win a Super Bowl?
Well, now you're talking
Suggs
about things.
Suggs did it. Le'Veon Bell did it.
Yeah, but I don't think that. It's different, and like when you add a guy like that, I don't think the Chiefs will become unlikable for a while, because Patrick Mahomes is a really difficult guy not to like.
They thought that about Steph Curry, and then everybody said, oh, it's annoying how he just chews on his mouthpiece at the free throw line.
Do
That's
people
what
not like Steph Curry?
100%. They're annoyed with him because
hate.
They think he yeah.
hate him.
They
well,
hate
you're,
him.
You're a Cavs fan, though.
No, I'm dead serious. Like,
no,
people,
Rob's saying he hates him. You're not saying that the general NBA fan hates him.
Yes, they do.
No, like, they do not. Okay. Steph Curry is not a hated NBA player. That is insane.
But it's not insane.
People
don't
hate Kevin Durant. Okay, some people might not like LeBron James.
But there are people that hate Steph Curry because of the way he acts and how he chews on his mouthpiece at the free throw line, how he like threw the ball in the playoffs the other year, and because he just does the shimmy. He has become hated because he is so damn good.
I would say by and large, he is one of the more beloved players
maybe
in the
by
league.
Children, but and by sports fans that are our age, they don't like him because they think he's arrogant and it's just been too much.
How dare you call me a child? I love seeing me some Steph Curry.
That's fine.
Speaking of the Tom Brady situation, I know that some people are ready to say, see, it was more Tom Brady than Bill Belichick in New England. I think it's far too early to say that. By the way, Benny Heiss of Sports Illustrated going to join us coming up 2 minutes from now. So any questions that you have, text in for your fantasy football squad. I'll ask him 913-576-7610. But Dusty, I was talking about, I think that there's some people that are saying, well, obviously the success was more Brady than Belichick. Because look, Brady left. They're still good, still Super Bowl contenders. Belichick doesn't have the quarterback. And all of a sudden his team looks like they're going to miss the postseason. Mm-hmm. I think it's far too early to say that. The sample size isn't big enough. Now, if you're somebody that wants to rush conclusions and say, so far, Brady is winning the divorce in the Brady-Belichick marriage, well, then I would agree with that. But let's revisit this 3 or 4 years down the line, because I wouldn't be surprised if Bill Belichick finds the quarterback, probably coaches for another 4, 5, 6 years, and then has one more run. Right now, Brady's the leader in the clubhouse, but I'm not saying that it was more Brady than Belichick just yet.
I'm not going to say anything yet, but I'll give you something to think about and chew on. Andy Reid couldn't get it done in the playoffs until he got Patrick Mahomes. He had Alex Smith. It wasn't obviously the system, because the system seemed to work during the regular season. So I think the quarterback has a little bit more pull in this argument. I think Tom Brady right now, like you said, is the leader going into the clubhouse. I think right now the argument could be it was 60-40, or it was maybe like 55-45 Tom. But it's a little bit interesting, because Andy Reid, such a great coach, such a well-known advocate of the game, an offensive genius, whatever you want to call it, but you think about it, They got a good quarterback, a franchise quarterback, a once-in-a-lifetime quarterback, kind of like Tom Brady, and everything changed for the Chiefs.
Get your fantasy questions rolling in right now because the time has come to get some fantasy advice with Sports Illustrated Insider when it comes to gambling and fantasy football. You know him as Heis. Ben Heiser joins the drive. What up, Heis? How you living, man?
Sean, Dusty, what's happening, guys? How are we doing?
Doing well, Heis. Got a question. So tonight's game is not one that, you know, I'm going to go home and watch. Who am I kidding? Yes, I am. I got money on it. Fantasy football-wise, who are the most plays in tonight's game?
I think both quarterbacks remain in play. It's one of the few games that we've actually seen the total go up from 51 to 52 compared to the bulk of the Sunday slates and dealing with sort of the post-effects of Hurricane Zeta moving up the East Coast, dealing with windy and cold conditions with Green Bay and Minnesota. So I think both of these teams are in play against two defenses that struggle in a wide variety of capacities. I think Teddy Bridgewater makes for a very solid start against the terrible Atlanta defense. Matt Ryan, conversely, should be able to control the short to intermediate passing game. He's got electric wide receivers in Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. Todd Gurley has seen an influx of carries recently. He's been fairly productive. In fact, he's been a running back one over the past 3 weeks. I think if you're looking for a couple sleeper plays here, I would start with somebody like Curtis Samuel, who we've been waiting to get going throughout the course of the season. If you're in desperate need of a wide receiver, if you're dealing with buys or injuries over the course of this week, we've seen his targets go up consistently the last 2 weeks. And they just got rid of Seth Roberts. He's now in Green Bay, so I imagine that leads to more snaps, more volume, and more opportunity for somebody like Curtis Samuel. But there's plenty of guys in play for tonight.
What should one do? And when I say one, I mean me with Michael Thomas. He was my first pick. I think I had like the fifth or sixth overall pick. And I don't even care if he comes back to bite me. I'm done with this guy. What can I get back for him?
That's the thing, though, Sean. Like, if you really want to move on from Michael Thomas, I mean, it's sort of the intricacies of fantasy football in the stock market, right? You want to buy low and you want to sell high. Right now, you're selling at the lowest possible point for somebody like Michael Thomas. Has he been non-existent over the course of the season? Yeah, he just hasn't been there, and the injuries are going to continue to linger. But you know that when crunch time starts to come around, when the fantasy playoffs are arriving, that's someone that you're going to want in your lineup that's going to be a guaranteed 8 to 12 targets, bunch of opportunities in the passing game, a legit red zone target for a Saints team that's had their issues this year that isn't a guarantee to just walk in and be a top seed in the NFC as far as the playoffs go. I would wait it out until he finally comes back on the field. And if he has a great game and you still decide that you want to move on, well, then all of a sudden you can get a really legitimate running back for him or maybe a top tier tight end or multiple wide receiver twos for somebody with the name brand of Michael Thomas. But if you sell on him now, I just don't know what the value is coming back to you. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
At this point, I'll take a half a pack of Parliaments, and I don't even smoke them. We got Benny Heis joining us here, Sports Illustrated Gambling and Fantasy Football Insider on the drive. Derek Carr takes on Baker Mayfield. Who's the better fantasy quarterback playing that game?
It's a really interesting question. And actually, you could start to wonder about both of them because I think both of them on the surface have really good matchups, right? Cleveland has been terrible against wide receivers this year. Conversely, the Raiders have given up all sorts of yards and chunk plays as well. And Derek Carr's having probably the best fantasy year of his career. Go through his game log this year. It's been really impressive. He's really efficient. He's gone for over 300 yards multiple times. He has at least 2 to 3 touchdowns in every game going back to September 21st. The issue is that you're going to deal with some weather in this game. And while cold weather doesn't necessarily impact and hinder fantasy value, wind conditions do. In Cleveland, you're expecting anywhere between 20 to 30 mile per hour swirling winds. That's going to play a role. Baker just lost Odell Beckham Jr. for the season. And then conversely, you know, if you're using somebody like Henry Ruggs, if you're the Raiders in the deep passing game, if you're dealing with all sorts of wind, that could play a factor in as well. If you're asking me who the better fantasy quarterback is for this particular game, I'm probably siding with Derek Carr just because of how bad the Browns defense has been against opposing wide receivers. And for somebody like Henry Ruggs, you could also make the argument, Sean, that they don't necessarily need to use him only on those deep routes and those go routes. They can use him as a running back. They can use him on screen passes. You just want to get this guy the ball in space, and that could still give somebody like Derek Carr plenty of value. Conversely, on the other side with Baker Mayfield, you know, it's Rashard Higgins and Jarvis Landry without the threat of Odell Beckham Jr. anymore. And, you know, you might be able to get away with that for 1 week against the Bengals. I don't know if you necessarily get away with it for 2 weeks in a row.
Heisler talked about it on Forced a Punt with Serta this week. I don't want anything to do with Dallas the rest of the year. I think it's over there. should people literally consider trading Zeke Elliott and Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb and just get away from Dallas?
Again, Dusty, like, if you're going to do it, you want to do it after they've had really strong performances. Maybe Zeke is the exception because on name brand value, he's still Zeke Elliott. He was still somebody that went within your top three and top four overall picks. You're always going to get value back for him. But let's imagine for a second, you know, and I saw the quotes from practice today from Michael Gallup saying that Ben DiNucci was really flinging it around and he looked really good in practice. And again, that could just be player speak and coach speak and BSing to the media. That's one thing or another. But again, think about value. Think about timeliness and opportunity. You're going up against Philadelphia right now. The whole entire NFL world and fantasy managers have completely given up on you. All it takes is one game. Remember, this is a week-to-week lead, guys. And if all of a sudden there is that one spark or one moment where somebody flashes a play or Michael Gallup takes a deep touchdown to the house from Ben DiNucci or Ezekiel Elliott in a divisional game against the first-place Eagles breaks a 40-yard touchdown run, now all of a sudden you have a little bit more leverage. Right now the Cowboys have zero leverage whatsoever because of all the unknowns. So I think there are going to be plenty of opportunities because of how bad their defense is for the rest of the team to be able to get going and have some sort of fantasy value. I get that you don't want to play him right now, and frankly, I understand it, but give it a little bit more time. The trade deadline's not coming around for the next couple weeks. Maybe there's still an opportunity to salvage some or multiple Dallas Cowboys this year.
Coming up in about 30 seconds, we're going to get some random question time with Benny Heiss. So if you have any questions about your fantasy football team or perhaps your opponent's team, get those in right now at 913-576-7610. But before those, Heiss, who's a must-start and a must-sit coming up on the slate?
All right, so as far as a must-start go, I like Jonathan Taylor quite a bit this week. He's going up against the Detroit Lions. He's been very, very mediocre over the course of the entire season, and this was somebody that people were reaching as high as the late second round to be able to pick up. But his matchup against the Lions is very intriguing. They've given up over 114 rushing yards on the ground, been bottom 10 against the run this year. I think the Colts on the road as road favorite sets up a very positive game script against a bad rushing team. So he's somebody that I'm absolutely going to be starting over the course of this week. Same thing with Jimmy Garoppolo. I know that he has not put up the fantasy numbers to impress, but you have to play him against Seattle considering how bad Seattle has been against stopping the run, against stopping the pass, against allowing fantasy points to quarterbacks all season long. If you're looking for guys that maybe you just feel like you're just wanting to stay away from, Ben Roethlisberger in a very rough spot this week. We saw what Big Ben was like on the road in the second half of the game against Tennessee with three turnovers. I want no part of him on the road at Baltimore. I'm also considering fading Adam Thielen. The Vikings are going to Green Bay where it's going to be 20 degrees with the wind chill and swirling winds 30 to 40 miles per hour. And if that's not going to stop you, Jaire Alexander, who's one of the best cover corners in the NFL, is likely to shadow Adam Thielen. It just spells a recipe for disaster with Kirk Cousins throwing in the cold. It's just a matchup I want no part of this week.
Here we go. Give me the music. It's random question time with Benny Heiss, 913-576-7610. Here we go. Le'Veon Bell or Mike Williams in the flex spot?
You got to go Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell, if you're looking to do a prep bet this week as well, whatever the odds are, I don't care if you're paying minus 200 on the juice, he is going to score a touchdown. It is almost a guarantee, a certainty. Le'Veon Bell gets into the end zone this week. You got to play him.
Lamar Jackson or Justin Herbert?
Oh, Lamar Jackson, tough matchup against Pittsburgh, but I like the fact that he's at home. Conversely, Justin Herbert, you know, he's been up and down this year, and I think Denver's going to play a little bit better than people anticipate. I still prefer Lamar Jackson in a big opportunity for him.
You said you like Jimmy Garoppolo. Someone from the 816 wants to know, do you like him more than Joe Burrow?
Probably not, only because Joe Burrow throws it about 1,000 times per game. Joe Mixon is possibly going to be out again. I mean, Joe Burrow threw the ball 47 times, went over 400 yards. He's going to get clobbered. He's going to take some sacks, but he's got really good wide receivers. He's chucking the ball downfield, and he's fearless. So I will pick Joe Burrow in this matchup.
Speaking of Joe Burrow, Benny Heiss, somebody asked, should I pick up A.J. Green?
I pronounced him dead on the show a couple weeks ago, and he's since come back to put up some solid fantasy performances. You know what? The fact that he's getting targets makes him somewhat fantasy viable. Again, it just depends on who else you have on your roster. If you're decimated at wide receiver and he's sitting there, yeah, you can ride him for a week or two.
Should I sit or play Leonard Fournette?
That's a great question. You know, Fournette, I think there's a big debate right now in the fantasy community as to whether or not he's going to be the guy moving forward. He had the better game compared to Ronald Jones. I think they're going to use him more as a pass catcher, so he's not going to be the same Fournette that we initially anticipated, but if you're in a point per reception league, there's standalone value there.
Wentz or Tannehill?
It's a great matchup for Carson Wentz, and Carson Wentz is actually, you guys, been really, really good these last 3-4 weeks from a fantasy value. Now, it's at Dallas, who's been atrocious, but so have the Bengals. Ryan Tannehill has had multiple touchdowns in almost every game this year. I think the proper play here, guys, is Ryan Tannehill.
Cole Beasley or Jamison Crowder?
Both of them are just sort of terrific slot wide receivers. Cole Beasley's coming up a 12-catch performance. I will say Jamison Crowder because the Jets have nobody else to throw to, and garbage time might start, 12 minutes into the first quarter. So I think Crowder gets a bunch of targets in meaningless football, and he ends up scoring a touchdown.
Last one, what do I do with Amari Cooper?
I think you play him this week. The Eagles have not been good against the pass. They've had some issues on both sides of the ball this year. And again, if you believe in Ben DiNucci, like some of the other Cowboys wide receivers do, I think Amari Cooper is in play.
Heisler, what's your opinion on Bob Ross?
On Bob Ross?
Yeah.
I don't know much about Bob.
He prefers John Ross. He's a fantasy football guy. All right, let the guy stay in his lane. That's Benjamin Heisler, Benny Heist, Sports Illustrated Gambling, and SI Fantasy Insider. Benny Heist, y'all. Thanks, man.
See you guys.
That is Benjamin Heisler. Hopefully he answered your question and got you some fantasy football advice. We'll get back into gambling coming up about 15 minutes from now when we do a quick segment of Bet It or Forget It. But up next, we take a trip around the NFL right here on The Drive.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.